Father, as we come to this time where we take a look at what has happened over the last year, the joys, the challenges, Father, as we look forward to the coming year and what it is that you would have for us as a church, we pray that in all of these things, first and foremost, you would be glorified. That our look, even as we look at our church and what you've been doing, that we still would not keep the focus on us, but that we would keep the focus on you and who you are. Thank you for what you do. Thank you, Father, for who you are, and that you live in relationship with us, and that we trust that you are building your church. We pray this in your name. Amen. Good afternoon. I am glad to see you here on this second Sunday of the new year and the new decade. As most of you know, this State of the Church address is something that I feel is very important for us to share together. I don't like reading my messages, but after the service, there will be copies of this address available, and they will be available online. And for that reason, I do my best to make sure that what I say from the pulpit matches what is in print. It's really the only time during the year when we directly attempt to take the pulse of the church. I want to let you know how I see the health of the church and remember some of the joys and challenges of the past 12 months. I also want us to face forward and ask ourselves what the coming year may hold as we do our best to be the church God is calling us to be. I believe there are good days ahead, and I can't wait to share some of those things with you. Part of the reason I think this particular Sunday and this process of sharing with you the state of the church is important is that it is easy to assume that where we are today is where we've always been. Whether we are discussing the challenges we face or the places where we see God is at work, it's easy to imagine it's simply always been that way. But that's not the case. And it's important for us to gain perspective from our past as we look forward to our future. To gain perspective, you may have to move up and get above the everyday perspective. And at the end of his life, God gave Moses the chance to gain perspective. We read about it in Deuteronomy 34, 1 through 4, where it says, "Then Moses went up from the plains of Moab to Mount Nebo, to the top of the Pisgah, which is opposite Jericho. And the Lord showed him all of the land, Gilead as far as Dan, all Naphtali, the land of Ephraim and Manasseh, all of the land of Judah as far as the western sea, the Negev and the plain, that is the valley of Jericho, the city of palm trees as far as Zoar. And the Lord said to him, 'This is the land of which I swore to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. I will give it to your offspring. I have let you see it with your eyes, but you shall not go over there.'" Now, for those of you who happen to be reading this in your Bible and read one verse further where it says that Moses then died, don't worry. This is not a coded message. None of us know the time when we will step from this life into eternity, but as far as I know, I'm going to be around to share many more of these annual addresses with you. But there are a couple of important points that God is teaching Moses that I think are important for us to remember. I will name these points now, and later I will talk a bit more about them. The first point is that what you can't see from the plains is still very real. The second point is that just because you don't go yourself doesn't mean you aren't a part. We'll come back to those points in a moment. Now, Moses, as he was at the top of the mountain, would obviously not only have been able to see the future where the people of God would be led into the promised land, he would have been able to look at their past with all of its joys and challenges. And I want us to first turn and look at where we have been. I want to always be honest with you, and here is the honest truth. 2019 was a difficult year. Personally, I began the year exhausted. Susan and I had had very little downtime in 2018, and the result was that we entered 2019 with very little in reserve physically. That sense of exhaustion was something we struggled with until the middle of the year, whenever we were able to get away for a couple of weeks of vacation. But what I noticed is that 2019 was a year when I felt like the church itself was suffering from exhaustion. I know that some of that was my own sense of fatigue, but I wasn't alone. Some of you, if you look back at 2019, would have to admit that you were tired, perhaps even discouraged. And this made many things more challenging. In fact, I cannot tell you how many people expressed to me the sentiment, "I can't wait for this year to be over." Even more than the physical fatigue, we had the challenge of emotional fatigue. We know and understand the fact that we are a church that sends as many people around the world as we are privileged to welcome. In fact, over the past 5 years, we have now sent almost twice as many people from Emmanuel to other places around the world as we have in worship on a typical Sunday. That doesn't mean it's ever easy, but we know it's coming. The difference with 2019 is that we had a number of people who left significantly earlier than planned. And many of those people were in key leadership roles. I think the best example of that challenge in 2019 is with our youth ministry. We knew Buddy and Kim would be leaving us in the summer. Buddy and Kim had been members of Emmanuel for more than 20 years, and for the last couple of years had been teaching the youth. Now the time had come that they needed to return to the U.S., but Dan and Yasmin had been helping in that ministry and were set to continue in that role. However, by the time Buddy and Kim were sent to the U.S., we had found out that Yasmin and Dan would be leaving in October. As much as that was a surprise, we had already been talking to Natalie and Jason about coming alongside of Yasmin and Dan, assisting with the youth. It seemed that they would be taking over in that role. Except what we could not and they could not have anticipated was that Natalie and Jason would beat Yasmin and Dan in leaving. We know that these things happen, but it was a shock. Nonetheless, we were not left without an answer. Stephen and Allison loved youth. They had been involved, especially with our Disciple Now, and were excited about the chance to work with our wonderful young people. They began to transition into that role even as Dan and Yasmin were sent in October. They were in that role less than 2 months before they unexpectedly returned to the USA themselves. I don't know about you. I get tired just hearing that story. And that's just one ministry. There were many others that we sent in the past year, each taking a little bit of us with them. Now, there are two mistakes we can make. One is to ignore the challenge that experiences like this present to us. It's okay to acknowledge that we miss people, that there are challenges in the constant transition, or even that we are discouraged. But the other mistake is to feel like the challenges are so great that we have been defeated or that God is not at work. And that is actually the furthest thing from the truth. For all the challenges we saw in 2019, God was massively at work. Do you remember our significant marriage seminar with the Goaties? We had 16 couples who were a part of that amazing weekend. God even brought a team from Houston, Texas, to work with our children so that those couples had the opportunity to be a part. God used that seminar to redirect the path of some marriages to help them move from a track that would have, at best, been a fight to stay together to a track in which they see their marriage as a significant part of the ministry that God has given them. Or think about the Disciple Now, in which so many of our teens were challenged to consider what it means to be an authentic follower of Christ. For some of those students, this was the point in which they took that step of faith and placed their trust in Christ. Speaking of which, we baptized 9 people in 2019, the most we have baptized in a single year since Susan and I arrived. Does that negate the challenges? No, not at all. But it shows how God was at work all along in the midst of those challenges. In 2019, we were able to use a grant from the IBC to hire Philip as our pastoral intern, focusing our... Yeah, you like that, don't you, Philip? Yeah. Focusing our attention on missions and small groups. In a variety of ways, our attention was focused on missions. We worked locally, including our new hospital ministry, worked with the homeless, and continued the Kainos ministry, which continued under the leadership of Janet and Jenny, even after Dina and Jean went back to the States. We worked together with the German congregation on the amazing Night of Churches, in which more than 200 people were reached. But we also worked internationally, as IBCers were involved in missions ministries in East Asia, amongst refugees in Greece, and in other places around the world. Now, like Moses, who perhaps first looked back to the hard road the people of Israel had traveled, now we want to look forward to what God has in store for the future. Wish I could tell you that there's a promised land just beyond the horizon. But that's not our promise to claim. But what we can claim is God's promise to be with us as we move forward. We can ask Him to show us a vision of where our footsteps should lead us as we seek to be obedient to Him and to fulfill our role in His kingdom. And after a challenging year like the one we've had, the temptation might be to back off or lay low. But I believe God is saying that to us that He was and is faithful regardless of how easy or challenging the path. His promise to us is not that our way would be easy, but that in following Him, He will bring forth fruit that only He can produce, both in our lives as individuals and in the life of this body. There's an interesting phrase at the end of our passage for today. God tells Moses as he looks over the promised lands, "I have let you see it with your eyes, but you shall not go there." Moses was not allowed to go into the promised land because of his disobedience, and God is reminding him of that fact. But I wonder if God might not be saying something similar to us, not because of our disobedience, but rather because of our unique role in the kingdom. We have stated for years that a part of our unique path, unique role in God's kingdom is the very thing that makes life most challenging. And that is that we send such a substantial part of our body someplace else every year. I think that reminder has been helpful in dealing with the challenge, but I think God wants more. I think He wants us to embrace our unique kingdom role and even lean into it. In other words, I think God would say this to us: I will let you see places you will never go yourself, but where you will still be involved in ministry. What does that mean? I believe 2020 is the year we must embrace being a local church with a global reach. When you start hanging out with pastors of international churches, like I do, you find that some of the challenges are things that we have in common. And the way you express that says a lot about how you see what is happening. One of the ways that international pastors most commonly express the high rate of transition in their churches is with the phrase, "It's like pastoring a parade." The people come through on their way to someplace else, and I want to be faithful in that short time they are with us. Now, I'm not saying that I blame anyone for that kind of understanding, but I want you to know I am not pastoring a parade. I am pastoring a body of Christ which is sending ambassadors of the kingdom of God to every corner of the globe. The truth is, for the entire time this church has been in existence, we have been sending people around the world. And if it is true that every one of us who call ourselves followers of Christ is tasked with being an ambassador of Christ, then every time we send someone out those doors, we send another ambassador, another missionary. And to the degree that we have invested in those people, we have a part in their ministry wherever God sends them. I want us to embrace that reality and make it our own. But how? First off, we have to embrace what is local. There is no global impact without local impact. Unless we are good stewards of the tasks God has given us here, there is no reason to think that God will trust us beyond that task. That means every single person is important. Whether God has placed you in this place for 6 months or for the rest of your life, you have an important role to play. For those of us who are here for the long haul, I want to speak to you for a moment. You play a critical role in who we are as a body. You are the bedrock upon which we build as a church. We need to take leadership and be involved in the ministries of the church, but to do so in a way that always leaves room for others to come alongside of us. You are the heart of the church, always welcoming and encouraging. And believe me, I know this is risky business. It takes great strength and grace to embrace those that you know you will also have to release. But there is great joy, not just in the time we have here, but in knowing that we are a part of what happens as people spread throughout the globe. To those of you who come knowing this is but one stop on your journey. Let me say to you, get connected quickly and strongly. We will give you room to grow, to lead, to help make a difference in this place where God has planted you for this time in your life. Don't miss the opportunity you have been given. Seth Graves is headed to Spain as a missionary. Most of you would still know Seth. He was here and worked in particular with our children. Seth loved to do music with our kids and helped with programs at Easter and at Christmas. But the time I remember best is actually 2 years ago when Seth led the kids in some music at our Thanksgiving dinner. The reason I remember that so well is that our neighbors were here for that Thanksgiving dinner, German neighbors, and even brought some of their family. And all were amazed at the way in which Seth interacted with those kids. It made an impression which gave rise to multiple conversations with them about the joy which Seth beamed. What I loved about Seth was that he saw his time here as both important on its own because of what God was doing here, but also as preparation for the future. He fully embraced and made his mark on this congregation. And even though Seth is now elsewhere, we are still having conversations with those neighbors because of what Seth did. Some of those children will never forget Mr. Seth. Never, never underestimate what God can do with you if you will give him the chance. It doesn't matter how long you have. Because of this, we want to strengthen what is local. We'll do that in several different ways. First, in training. We want to offer several training opportunities throughout the year. This may be in knowing your spiritual gifts or how to more effectively share your faith or in apologetics. But we want to do things which help build you up in your faith. Secondly, application. Training without the opportunity to put what you learn into action creates disciples who lack heart and passion. It is when our training meets real people that God takes our knowledge and infuses it with His love in a way that changes lives. And for that reason, we want to strengthen what we do outside of these walls in local missions and ministry. We already have great opportunity for you to be involved, whether it's through Kainos, our ministry to the brothels in Wiesbaden, our homeless ministry, our hospital ministry, but we want to not only expand the reach of those ministries, but also look for other opportunities to impact lives locally. And then thirdly, exploration. We will hold the door open for you to explore where God wants you to use your gifts and passion. I love one of the most recent conversations I had with someone relatively new to Emmanuel who said, "I love to bake. Is that something that can be used?" Yes. The answer is, and was, and is, yes. And in probably in more ways than I can think of right now. So we want to embrace what is local. But we want to also embrace that we have a global impact. George Mueller, the minister whose reliance on God was legendary, said, "Faith does not operate in the realm of the possible. There is no glory for God in that which is humanly possible. Faith begins where man's power ends." I believe that God wants to do what is, from a human perspective, impossible. For a church like ours to have a global impact might seem impossible. But we serve a mighty God for whom the impossible is possible. When we start speaking about global impact, we don't automatically move from here to the other side of the world. I love the way Acts 1:8 describes the progression when it says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." There's a progression which is described, moving from local to that which is a bit further, and then further still, all the way to the ends of the earth. So when we say that the second part of our task for 2020 is to strengthen what is global, we mean we will start by looking right beyond the horizon and then continue to move where God opens doors. In the passage we read in Deuteronomy, the start of God's promise to them lie right beyond the river of Jordan. And for us, I believe the start of what God desires to do through us lies right beyond the Rhine River. For the past 5 years, we have been working on the university in Mainz through our partnership with Texas Baptist Student Ministry and the student missionaries that they have sent us. But what has been amazing is to see the numbers of people coming to us from Mainz and beyond. Over and over again, when new people come through our doors and we ask them where they live, the answer is Mainz and beyond. Just out of curiosity, how many of you live on the Mainz side of the river? Yeah. Look. I believe that Mainz is our Judea. We already have one life group which draws from Mainz, but in 2020, I want us to explore what it might look like to plant something new in Mainz. Maybe at this point, that is one or two more life groups for those who live in Mainz. Maybe it means a new work entirely. The exciting thing is to know that God is already moving. He is working and building before we ever come to the realization that God has something in store. You know, as I processed what to share with you about the last year and a vision for the coming year, I was reminded of something that Dietrich Bonhoeffer wrote. He said, "It's not we who build. Christ builds the church." He goes further to say, "It may be that the times which by human standards are the times of collapse are for him the times of construction. It may be that the times which from a human standpoint are great times for the church are times when it's pulled down. It is a great comfort which Jesus gives to his church. You confess, preach, bear witness to me, and I alone will build where it pleases me. It's a great comfort to me that after what seemed to me to be a challenging year, that it may very well be that these were some of the times in which Christ grew us the most. We can be secure in the knowledge that he is building his church." As we further explore what it means to be a global church, I think we must take advantage of the technology which God has put at our disposal. So in 2020, we will take steps to begin streaming our services. We will do so in a way which complies with all applicable laws, but we must be faithful to use the tools which God has placed in our hands. Some of you will know Sergei Bespalov. Sergei has a new job, which will mean that most of his time will be spent in Russia. Unfortunately, they moved up his departure date suddenly, and Sergei left Germany on Friday. So we didn't have a chance to wish him goodbye in one of our services. One of Sergei's biggest concerns is finding a church in Russia. While watching online is not a substitute for life on life relationships, what an encouragement it would be to Sergei if he could watch the stream and perhaps even participate via a chat. We have tools at our disposal, and we must do a better job of using those tools. What if we could do a Zoom call to Seth during one of our services, and Seth could update us on his ministry in Spain? What if our services were suddenly being experienced by people around the world? What if there were opportunities for witness and discipleship around the world because people were a part of our service via streaming? In 2020, our internet service in this building will be upgraded, and we will have hardwired internet service in every major room in the building. What if someone from a place with no access to Christian fellowship were to join in our adult Bible study? Our capacity to reach the world is no longer limited by our ability to be physically present. And among you, among us, we speak more than 35 different languages. How would God use you to reach the world? These are exciting days to be alive and exciting days to be at Emmanuel. We can't neglect the local. If we do, then we really have nothing to offer on the global side. I am completely convinced that God has placed in our midst the people who He is calling to engage locally. So who is it who is passionate about loving on our teenagers to help encourage and rebuild? Who are those who will take just 1 week a month to love on our children and teach them that God loves them more than they can imagine? Who will use their skills in baking or sewing or any number of things to help us engage locally? Who will open their home for a new life group? Or who will go to the hospital to help communicate with someone who otherwise will be isolated and alone? I don't know why you think you're here, but if you're a follower of Christ, the real reason is to build His kingdom. He may have used your work or your family to bring you here, and you should certainly attend to those things well. He may give you the bonus of seeing and experiencing some unique things in the time that you are here, but the reason you are here is to build His kingdom. I know that because it's always true. Every single place God puts us, His call is to build His kingdom. We are His ambassadors. Welcome to 2020, and welcome to Emmanuel, a loving, thriving, local church with a global reach. Amen. As we draw this service to a close, I hope you'll take this seriously. I hope God uses this to speak to your life, because I truly believe that calling is for each and every one of us. And I truly believe God has some exciting things in store for us in the coming year. And I hope you want to be a part. Amen. We're going to sing together, and then we're going to pray together. And I invite you to stand. As you're standing, let me tell you, here are copies of the address from today. There are also copies at the back. I also here and at the back have deacon nomination forms. We are starting the process of electing servant leaders for our church. And if you are a full member or an associate member, you can help us in the process of nominating. So come by, pick up one of these. There's also copies of this at the back. Come by and pick up a copy. These are people just like you. Every one of these leaders that is currently leading and will lead into the future is simply someone who is willing to engage locally and globally as God leads. And so I encourage you not only to think about who may serve, but also to think about serving yourself. So if you would, please stand with me as we sing, and then Foster will lead us in our benediction.